All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 34. I've been in a series, Brother Clayton, on this passage on God describing himself to Moses. And we've looked at all these attributes of God in Exodus 34 and beginning with verse number 5, where God spoke to Moses. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. And here's our text today, verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Let's pray. Father, as we look into the Word this morning, I pray that we will be people who, like Moses, hear the Word of the Lord and bow and worship. We submit ourselves to obey Your Word and let it find resting place in our hearts today. We pray the Spirit of God will work in the hearts of Your people to equip us for what we're going to face, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and of His Word. And then if there's anyone lost, we pray for them to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After God met Moses and described His attributes unto him, proclaimed His name, Moses made haste, the Bible says, and bowed his head and worshiped. There's a lot of misconceptions in Christian circles about what worship is. That word worship has meaning, and people have tried to transform worship into other things than what the Bible teaches worship really is. So I want us to look at that today in our subject and give you a little introduction on worship to begin with. Worship, like many words, like grace and mercy and love, go beyond a short definition. They're deeper. They mean more. Their application is greater than just the defining of the word that is used for worship. That's a place we can start, but it goes much deeper than that. The basic definition of the Hebrew word shakah, worship, means to prostrate in homage to God or to royalty. To bow down, to prostrate ourselves. Men have a gland organ in their body that is called a prostate. To prostrate means to lay down. And we often confuse that. You hear people say, that guy's got prostrate trouble. Prostrate means to fall down on your face, to lay down before God. The prostate is the organ in a man's body. And that's just something to remember to try to help you with that word a little bit and what it means. One definition of worship is it is an overflow of a grateful heart under a sense of divine favor. Moses here was spontaneous in his worship. He didn't set up a Sunday. He didn't have a planned service. God spoke to him, and in a moment's time, the result of that was Moses bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. In Genesis chapter 22, we find the first mention of the word worship with Abraham when he went up to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice unto God. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Brother Dick Clark, you see that Abraham was a southerner also. He went yonder to worship, you see. And this was a planned act of worship. He took his son, he took the wood for the burnt offering, and he took his servants, and then he said to his servants, you stay here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship the Lord. So that was a planned act of worship. Another has defined worship as the outpouring of a soul in the presence of God. And that's sort of what Moses was doing here. He was in the presence of God. He heard God speak. And so the result of that was immediately he worshiped. And this deals with the spiritual condition of the person who's worshiping. The person who's worshiping outpours his worship to God because he's a spiritual person in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said it like this to the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And he said to her, the Father seeketh such to worship him. God seeks us as his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the word worship is defined as an occupation of the heart, not with its needs or even with its blessings, but with God himself. I want you to think about that for a moment and ponder that. We find some distinctions in that thought. Prayer is the occupation of the spiritual person with needs. Prayer means asking. We are asking God to be with us today, to bless us today, to save the lost today, to help His people today. Those are prayers that we're asking. We're occupied with the need that we have. Praise is a little different. Praise is the occupation of giving thanks to God for the blessings that He bestows upon us. Praise is important. It is important that we don't just ask God for needs, but that we praise God for all the blessings that we have. But worship is the occupation with God Himself. In the book of Revelation, we saw that they fall down before God and the elders cast their crowns at the foot of the throne and they ascribe glory and adoration unto God in worship. Prayer is an elementary thing. We teach the smallest of children to pray. Benjamin will bow his head to pray for his meal and he'll say something. God knows what he says, but I got no idea what it is. I have to get Abby to come over and interpret for me all the time, you know. He kept bringing a sheet last night wanting to cover my head up. He kept saying a tunnel. I didn't know what he was saying. Abby had to interpret it for me. He wanted to be in the tunnel with Papa. So we got under the sheet together and he was in the tunnel. But we can teach them to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And we teach them little prayers like that and little prayers for their food. And sometimes they'll fold their hands, you know, and they'll pray and they'll ask God for blessing their food and to protect their family, to pray for our basic needs and protection. Even a small child can learn to pray, but it's important that as Christians we grow and we learn more than just asking for our needs to be met. We learn how to give praise unto God. Psalm 50 and verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." So I want to glorify God, don't you? I want to be thankful for what God is to me. And I want to give Him praise, and I want to give Him thanks, and I want to give Him glory. The deeper walk we have with God helps us to focus on God Himself, who is our Father. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He did that before he taught them to direct their needs to God in prayer. To begin their prayer, they gave a worship of God. They gave praise unto God. They gave glory to his name and exalted the Father. Worship is defined as the upspring of a heart that has known the Father as giver. Has God answered your prayers? Has God blessed you? Has God met your needs? Do you know Him as the giver of life eternal through Jesus Christ? We know the Son who is our Savior. He rescued us from our sins. I was an adult man before I got saved. I was a Marine. I'd been to Vietnam. I came back. I lived at least 4 more years before I came to know Christ as my Savior. I had seen it all and done it all and been as wicked as anybody could be. And God in His mercy and His grace reached down in the pit of sin and saved me and washed me and cleansed me and gave me His Spirit and made me His son. And I'm thankful for that. And I want to appreciate Him for that. And I want to praise Him for that. But understand with me, these kids that were up here ringing the bells today, a lot of those kids are saved kids. They've been saved and they know Christ as their Savior. Some of them have been baptized and are members of the church because of that. They had to be delivered from sin just as much as I had to be delivered from sin. They needed salvation just as much as I needed salvation. Though my sins were greater and deeper and darker than those children's sins were, we are all sinners who need to be saved by the grace of God. So Christ has rescued us from our sin by saving us. The Father has given to us, and the Holy Spirit is the indwelling guest of God who brings us comfort and leads us and guides us so that we might walk with God. We can intelligently worship with purpose the Creator, and we can serve Him with the right relationship with God when we know God the Father, and we know that Christ the Son is our Savior, and we know the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Then we can worship aright and pray aright and praise aright and serve God as well. The most common Greek word in the New Testament for worship means basically the same thing that the Hebrew word means: to do reverence by homage or prostration. You remember in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 2, that the wise men came to worship the child that was born, the King of the Jews. They said they came to worship Him. And of course they met with Herod first of all, and Herod said, "Tell me when you find Him so I can come and worship Him also." But we know Herod wanted to kill Him, not to worship Him, because Herod had been given by Mark Antony the title, the King of the Jews. And he didn't want to share that realm with the Jewish King of the Jews. He didn't want to have a war that he'd have to answer to the Roman government for. So he wanted to destroy this child. The wise men were led by God. In chapter 2, verse number 11 of the book of Matthew, they found the Christ child at the home where they had gone. And the Bible says they fell down and worshiped Him and presented Him gifts. When you received the offering this morning as a church and you gave your tithes and your offerings unto God, you worshiped God in the giving of your tithes and offerings. You made sacrifices unto Him. You made offerings unto Him. And if we remember that it's a part of our worship, we'll have a whole different attitude about our giving than if we just think it's to pay the bills and keep the lights burning and all that sort of thing. It's a part of our worship of God to give unto Him. Abraham's worship had an element of service and sacrifice. In Genesis 22, when he was willing to offer his son Isaac on the mountain. Most of you know that the basic place for the temple of God, that beside it there is the Dome of the Rock. And that is that shiny gold-looking building that is there on the site. And the Temple Mound, there is debate on whether they could rebuild the temple with the Dome of the Rock still there. And the Muslims control the Dome of the Rock. But you see, the Muslims also believe in Abraham. He is the father of their nations as well. And the Dome of the Rock is not really a building. It's just a roof and the columns. It's over a rock. And the rock is the place where Abraham offered his son. And that was a type and a symbol and a picture of God our Father, who would offer His Son to die for your sins and for mine. They don't want to give the Jews any credit, so they say it wasn't Isaac that he offered there, but Ishmael, or Esau, his son or grandson that he offered there, so they can try to claim credit for that themselves. And there is debate over the presence of the Dome of the Rock that is there. But Abraham went there to worship God, and he went there to worship Jehovah Elohim, not Allah. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, Jesus rebuked Satan in the temptations, and he said, "We're to worship God, and Him alone are we to serve." Satan said, "Worship me and I'll give you all these things." Jesus said, "I'm to worship God and God alone, and Him alone shall I serve." Hear me today. Abraham was serving God when he was willing to offer his son. Moses was serving God when he bowed down and worshiped Him. Worship has to do with service and with sacrifice and with dedication unto God. It also has to do with separation. Just like receiving the Lord's Supper, we make sure we repent of our sin and cleanse our heart before God, and we don't partake of the Lord's Supper unless our sins have been cleansed and we know our heart is right with the Lord, because to partake in the wrong way, we could do damage to ourselves in that. Paul said at Corinth, some were sick and some were dead because of wrongfully observing the Lord's Supper. Likewise, when we worship God, we separate ourselves from others and from sin, and we go alone with God. You could be in this room with 200 people today, but you get alone with God when you bow your head and worship Him and pray to Him and praise Him. Abraham told the young men, "You stay here and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." He separated himself from his employees to go and worship God. He was by faith obeying God's command. God had told him to go there and offer his son as a sacrifice. Most of you know that story, that the reason Abraham was able to go and be willing to kill his son was he believed with all of his heart that God would raise him from the dead, because God had promised through that son there would be a nation of people born. And so by faith, he had that kind of faith to raise the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord stopped him in time. And he saw the ram caught in the thicket because God provided himself a sacrifice. Thanks be unto God, that sacrifice was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So the worship of God and the work of God must be guided by the Word of God. Abraham was being obedient to what God told him to do. It wasn't worship wasn't guided by self-help books. It wasn't the pastor's invention of something for the people to do to create excitement in the congregation. It was not replacing the preaching and teaching of the Word with drama and video and music and dance and all those things. No, worship is something that we must do to God, and it must be guided by His Word, and it must be His people that worship Him. We separate unto Him. It's important we know what God's Word says about worship. Abraham separated himself from the young men. Moses had separated himself from the whole nation and gone up on the mount alone to meet with God to receive the commandments on the tables he had made in Exodus 34. The wise men left their homes and their families behind. Probably a caravan of people came. We think about Christmas stories and manger scenes and three wise men. And y'all have heard me say many times, there's nothing in the Bible that says there were three wise men. There were three gifts that they gave unto Christ. There could have been a whole caravan of these people who came following the sign of the star. They had some knowledge given unto them by the grace of God to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they offered Him their gifts. So worship requires a separation, even to the point of sacrifice and paying a price. Abraham was willing to pay the price of his only begotten son in the eyes of God was Isaac, and he was willing to slay him in obedience unto God. The wise men gave of their gifts unto God. Moses gave of himself to God, willing to intercede for the nation that God would take his name out of the book of life if he was going to destroy the people because of their failures and their sins. Thank God he's a type and a symbol of the Lord Jesus, who stands at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for you and for me, so that we might have our sins forgiven. To draw unto God to worship, we have to separate ourselves from sinfulness and see God exalted as we worship the Lord. Look, turn over in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. I've been giving you pretty easy quoting verses this morning. make you find one, okay? Philippians chapter 3. That'll do two things. It'll help you to see what the Bible says rather than just hear it from me. And it'll wake you up. Philippians chapter 3. I know how hard it is, folks. Philippians 3, verse 1. If I had to listen to me all the time, I'd go to sleep too. Chapter 3, Philippians, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and truth. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. You see, when we worship God and we bow down ourselves before Him, we are doing so in dependence that He would guide us in the way that we should worship Him, and He has done so through His Word. Secondly, back in Exodus chapter 20, we have where Moses originally received the commandments of God, and God expected them to worship Him and Him alone, to separate themselves unto God, and to have no other gods. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know, friends, there are some major religions today that this passage of Scripture nullifies their approach to God because they do it through statues and images, and they worship things rather than worshiping God Himself. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 3, there was a man named Elkanah. He had two wives. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel verse 3, he came yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto God. Now he was the father of Samuel. We usually focus on the mother of Samuel because she's the one that went to the temple to pray for a son. And she prayed in earnest, and Eli the prophet thought she was drunken because her lips were moving and she wasn't saying anything. She was praying in silence. Did you know God can hear you when you pray silently? He sure can. And He does. And this woman got her prayer answered. She gave birth to Samuel, and then she brought him back to the temple and lended him to God to live out his life in service for the Lord, and he became one of the greatest prophets and priests that the nation of Israel had ever known. Too many today are confusing worship with ritual, or with a building with stained glass windows, or they exalt men to worship, TV celebrity preachers, or denominational heads with a robe and a collar. Paul rebuked the believers at Corinth because of man worship rather than God worship. He said, you're worshiping Paul and Apollos and Peter, and who you need to be worshiping is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for you. Worship requires maturity in a believer. Discernment comes with the knowledge of the Word and experience with God. Israel's men could become warriors to fight the battles when they were 20 years of age. I was a Marine when I was 17. And they didn't want me to go into combat at 17, so they gave me a birthday present when I turned 18 at Camp Pendleton. They sent me to Vietnam. 18 years old. I see pictures of young Marines today, 19 or 20, and I think I was even younger than that. I can't believe it. There was a different maturity level in that day. And it takes that to go to war. Numbers 1:3, the men of Israel could be warriors at 20 years of age. The Levites were required to be 25 years of age to serve in the temple aspect as Levites. Numbers 8 and verse number 24. But the priests were required to be 30 years of age before they could serve as a priest of God. The Bible says a pastor is not to be a novice because he could be easily lifted up with pride if he's a novice, and Satan would get the victory. Jesus said in John 4:24 to the woman at the well, "You worship what you know not." They didn't understand how to worship, and there's a lot of people that don't understand worship today. Let's turn to John 4 and verse 19. I'm almost through. Take hope. Be encouraged. For the rest of the congregation today, you know I'm not preaching mad. Last couple of weeks, some folks told me, said, "You preach pretty good when you get mad." You know, so I'm not preaching mad today. So I also offend some people if I preach mad. So maybe today I'll balance it out, okay? Chapter 4, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." He said, then the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Like prayer and study, worship requires time and separation from other things, and a spiritual display. Not the flesh can approach God, but in the Spirit we can approach God. Last of all, we ought to worship the Father who's holy and requires holiness of us, who is righteous because everything He does is always right. He explained to Moses, and we've looked at for the last several weeks, that He is gracious and merciful and long-suffering to us, and we ought to worship Him for what He has done for us, and the Holy Spirit will draw us unto Him to worship Him. The Father of lights, He's unchanging, immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unchanging, and He's the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Known the comfort of God the Father? Have you gone through things in life that you needed something from God that man couldn't give it to you? The preacher at the funeral could say nice things, but it just didn't bring you what God could bring you in the Spirit. He could comfort you within that everything was going to be all right because He's on the throne and He rules and reigns. Jesus taught His disciples to pray and exalt the Father and worship the Father for what He's done. John 3:16 tells us that He's loved the whole world and sacrificed His Son for us. He's chosen us in Christ and saved us by His grace and blesses us with multiple blessings. He's taken us into His family. 1 John 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." He's seeking us to worship Him, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, I also worship the Son, our elder brother, who took our place in sacrifice and died so that our sins could be forgiven. The Savior, the intercessor, the Creator. The Bible says it was by Him all things were made, and for Him all things were made. He substituted Himself for you and for me. he laid aside his glory and his presence with the Father and took on flesh, that he might be our kinsman redeemer and die in our place, substitute himself as the one perfect man so that we could be forgiven and be saved. He won the day for us. He is the captain of our salvation. Conquered sin, hell, and the grave. Revelation 1 says, and he's alive forevermore. Worship him for what he's doing, making intercession, preparing a place for us. Worship him for what he will do. He's promised to come again and receive us unto himself. And then we come to the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically to worship the Spirit. It tells us that it is the Spirit that helps us to worship the Father and the Son. We're to exalt the Word of God. We're to exalt the Father. We're to exalt the Son. And the Spirit is the one who helps us to do that. He convicts us of our sin and draws us unto God. And He makes utterance for us at the throne of God when we don't always know how to pray. I talked about little Benjamin. I couldn't always understand the words he was trying to say. And I'm a child like that with God in many ways. The Father is so much higher above us and His ways above our ways. But He understands me because the Holy Spirit makes utterance for me at the throne of God. And we hear His Word preached. We ought to do like Moses. We ought to bow our heads. Say, Father, I want to be in agreement with what Your Word says that I'm supposed to do. And I submit myself to that. I worship You and give You myself. And I do that through the Lord Jesus Christ who provided for me. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymnal. You'll need your song books. Brother David's going to come and lead us and he'll worship the King. And he'll tell you the number and get you a book if you would and sing with us. If you need to have someone counsel with you about salvation or dedication or to join the church or whatever the need may be, we'll help you and guide you if you'll come.
All right, in your hymnal, it's hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Hymn number 1.